Medieval History, 7th grade, May 18th through May 22nd, Review Week, Wednesday, May 20th, History Unit, Semester Review, Lesson 3, Charlemagne. Keep this question in mind as you study. What are the benefits of secular leaders, kings and emperors, etc., having tremendous influence in the church? Be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Explain whether the motivations of Charlemagne were primarily secular, religious, or some combination of the two. Introduction. You have not seen this exact image before, but you should be able to figure out what event it depicts. If you can't remember, you can find the answers in the first paragraph on the next page. Look at the picture on page 9. Number 1. What event is being depicted? Number 2, why was that event important? Page 10. The coronation of Charlemagne as the Holy Roman Emperor by Pope Leo III united the Christian Church with a major political power for the first time in the West. This unity of church and state allowed for Charlemagne to help grow, strengthen, and reform the church in France, Italy, and Germany. This monumentous occasion occurred on Christmas Day, 800 AD. Church reforms. Similar to Constantine, ruled 311 to 337, Charlemagne had a tremendous amount of influence over the church. He employed bishops and clergy in administrative roles in his various provinces and insisted on having final approval over which clerics are chosen to be bishops. He also claimed the right to veto someone proposed to be appointed bishop by ecclesial leaders. While this may have set a bad precedent for the future, the Pope at the time supported Charlemagne and allowed him to do this. Charlemagne called together various councils of bishops to implement various reforms. The reforms of Charlemagne include, number 1, the reform of preaching. Preaching from biblical texts was encouraged, not just material from saints' lives. Charlemagne ordered books of sermons to be prepared. Number 2, the practice of private confession of sins by an individual to a priest. This became more common, though not yet required. The practice came from the Irish monks. Number 3, Charlemagne raised the basic standards of Christian education. Every Christian should be able to recite the Lord's Prayer and recite the Apostles' Creed. Number 4. Charlemagne extended the system of archbishoprics. At the beginning of his reign, the only archbishopric in his domain was Mainz. By the end of his reign, there were 22 archbishoprics in his empire. Bishops were responsible to archbishops, meaning they were held to a higher level of accountability for their own actions. Next, you will hear a sharing of selections from Einhard's Life of Charlemagne. Please read and annotate. The Saxons, like almost all the tribes of Germany, were a fierce people, given to the worship of devils, and hostile to our religion, and did not consider it dishonorable to transgress and violate all law, human and divine. The war with them could doubtless have been brought to an end sooner, had it not been for the faithlessness of the Saxons. They were sometimes so much weakened and reduced that they promised to renounce the worship of devils and to adopt Christianity, but they were no less ready to violate these terms than prompt to accept them. But the king did not suffer his high purpose and steadfastness, firm alike in good and evil fortune, to be wearied by any fickleness on their part, or to be turned from the task that he had undertaken. On the contrary, he never allowed their faithless behavior to go unpunished, but either took the field against them in person, or sent his counts with an army to wreak vengeance and exact righteous satisfaction. At last, after conquering and subduing all who had offered resistance, he took 10,000 of those who lived on the banks of the Elbe, and settled them, with their wives and children, in many different bodies here and there, in Gaul and Germany. The war that had lasted so many years was at length ended by their acceptance of terms offered by the king, which were renunciation of their national religious customs and the worship of devils, acceptance of the sacraments of the Christian religion, and union with the Franks to form one people. 24. Charles was temperate in eating, and especially so in drinking, for he abhorred drunkenness in anybody, much more in himself and those of his own household. But he could not easily abstain from food, and often complained that fasts injured his health. While at table he listened to reading or music. The subjects of the readings were the stories and deeds of olden time. He was fond, too, of St. Augustine's books, and especially of the one entitled The City of God. He was so moderate in the use of wine and all sorts of drink that he rarely allowed himself more than 3 cups in the course of a meal. While he was dressing and putting on his shoes, he not only gave audience to his friends, but if the count of the palace told him of any suit in which his judgment was necessary, he had the parties brought before him forthwith, heard the case, and gave his decision, just as if he were sitting in the judgment seat. 25. Charles had the gift of ready and fluent speech, and could express whatever he had to say with the utmost clearness. He was not satisfied with ability to use his native language merely, but gave attention to the study of foreign ones, and in particular was such a master of Latin that he could speak it as well as his native tongue, but he could understand Greek better than he could speak it. He was so eloquent, indeed, that he might have been taken for a teacher of oratory. He most zealously cherished the liberal arts, held those who taught them in great esteem, and conferred great honors upon them. Alcuin, a man of Saxon birth, who was the greatest scholar of the day, was his teacher. The king spent much time and labor with him studying rhetoric, dialectic, and especially astronomy. He learned to make calculations and used to investigate with much curiosity and intelligence the motions of the heavenly bodies. 26. He cherished with the greatest fervor and devotion the principles of the Christian religion, which had been instilled into him from infancy. Hence it was that he built the beautiful basilica at Aix-la-Chapelle, which he adorned with gold and silver and lamps, and with rails and doors of solid brass. He had the columns and marbles for this structure brought from Rome and Ravenna, for he could not find such as were suitable elsewhere. He was a constant worshipper at this church, as long as his health permitted, going morning and evening, even after nightfall, besides attending Mass. He took care that all the services there conducted should be held in the best possible manner, very often warning the sextons not to let any improper or unclean thing be brought into the building or remain in it. He took great pains to improve the church reading and singing, for he was well skilled in both, although he neither read in public nor sang except in a low tone and with others. 27. He was very active in aiding the poor, and in that open generosity which the Greeks call alms, so much so, indeed, that he not only made a point of giving in his own country and his own kingdom, but when he discovered that there were Christians living in poverty in Syria, Egypt, and Africa, at Jerusalem, Alexandria, and Carthage, he had compassion on their wants, and used to send money over the seas to them. The reason that he earnestly strove to make friends with the kings beyond seas was that he might get help and relief to the Christians living under their rule. He cared for the Church of St. Peter, the Apostle at Rome, above all other holy and sacred places, and heaped high its treasury with a vast wealth of gold, silver, and precious stones. He sent great and countless gifts to the popes, and throughout his whole reign, the wish that he had nearest his heart was to re-establish the ancient authority of the city of Rome under his care and by his influence, and to defend and protect the Church of St. Peter, and to beautify and enrich it out of his own store above all other churches. Number 1. Were Charlemagne's motivations primarily secular, religious, or a mixture of the two? Back up your claim with a minimum of 3 specific examples from today's readings. This concludes the material for Wednesday, May 20th.